Hey, but the Lord is so good. All right. Well, I think back years ago when we were up in the state of Washington pastoring there at Calvary, or I was pastoring, my wife was helping me with that. Our daughter Pamela flew up there just to visit for a week or so, and she brought Logan with her. And he was about, maybe 2 or 3 months old. He was just a little tot. And I thought, he has such beautiful eyes. You know, they say the eyes of a child, they don't grow. You have to grow into those eyes. I thought, boy, if he ever grows into those eyes, he's going to be a handsome young man. Well, there he is, and he's going to come and preach for us.
Well, amen. I definitely agree with that statement. No, I'm just joking. It's good to be back in the house of God tonight. I had a fun time at college. It was a blessing. Met tons of people, had tons of friends. The food was kind of meh, okay? There was some stuff that was like, what were you thinking when you put that in the oven, okay? But some of them was really good. The spaghetti was really good, lasagna. But there's one meal in particular that was just like, what were you doing? I mean, it was a tater tot casserole. I mean, it was revolting. I did not like it. But where he leads, I will follow. What he feeds, I will swallow. Amen. So that was a blessing there. So turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to be reading from verse 15 to 17. Camp, and is it about 3 weeks? So I know Little Renee is going to be preaching. Josh, I need to see your name on that list too, man. You got the voice too of it, all right? So that'll be a blessing. I remember 1 year I won. I was so proud. I got the trophy. I was like, yes, I won the preaching competition. I'm the next Billy Sunday. I'm going to go and preach crusades. And then I realized I was the only person who put my name on the list. But you know what? I'll take it. It's a free reward. It looks cool on the shelf. Amen. But pardon me as I preach, I'm not at that level yet. I'll go for about 3 hours, maybe 2.5, but I haven't taken hermeneutics yet, so I'm not quite at Levi's level yet, but I'm getting there. So as we're reading chapter 2 in 1 John, I have you stand as we're giving reverence to the reading of God's holy word. Let's begin reading in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. My title of my message today is, will you follow the will of God? I believe this passage already preached for itself, but I'm going to try my best to convey what God has laid on my heart. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just please pray and ask that you'll help me as I preach, Lord, calm my nerves. I please pray that you'll help me convey this message that you've laid on my heart. Pray for Josh as he comes up and after me. Pray that you'll prepare our hearts for his message. Thank you so much for today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So verse 15 very clearly states, don't fall in love with the world, neither the things that are in the world. The devil, one thing the devil will do is he'll always try to make the grass look greener on the other side. As a kid growing up in church and growing up in a Christian home, I always wanted to live the party life. I mean, I grew up in a Christian home. I had everything going for me. The testimony that my family has set have really just laid the work out for me. And I didn't want anything to do with ministry. I had dreams of being an NBA player and an NFL player. Never got to really play football. I got to play basketball. I was decent, but definitely not the NBA level. Levi was always better than me. But I always had the dream of doing something for the world. Never for what God had for my life. Never for the will or the plan that God had for my life. The devil is always looking to make the grass look greener on the other side. So I always struggled with that growing up. And honestly, it still was with me as I went up to Bible college. I got saved in Bible college in February by the grace of God. I mean, I was heading for a devil's hell. I was heading straight over there. I thought I was saved. But, you know, it was just myself lying to myself when I knew deep down I was not saved. It always was a constant struggle. And that's the reason why I didn't want what the God had for my life. When I went up to college and after I got saved, a preacher at college said something that really stuck out to me. He was saying, it takes a lifetime to build a testimony, and it takes seconds to lose it. if it really stuck with me, because I think of my grandpa and what a wonderful testimony he has, and my mom and my dad and all the work that they've laid out so that I could be better set up to serve the Lord. And what a waste it would have been if I would have just made one wrong move. One wrong move, I would have just thrown it all away. For what? For the world? The world is temporal. It'll all pass away. And it's not worth it. So it really stuck out to me as I was at college when the pastor really said that to me, because it really just stuck out and it spoke to me. And as we go, and the sad thing is the people that come from Christian homes, that grow up in Christian homes, and they get in the world, the sad thing is most of the time they don't usually make it out of it. They stay in the sin, or they end up passing away a horrible death. They don't live long. It's very sad to see, and they don't usually get to be able to come out. That was the thing, the process I had. I thought, all right, when I turn 18, I'll go live the party life, and then I'll get some, you know, oh, I'm saved again, you know, and then go back into the ministry and have a great testimony. That's not how it works. The testimony of coming out of sin is a wonderful testimony, but I'm sure the people that have the testimony of living in that lifestyle and being able to be saved from it, I'm sure they would agree with me on the statement that the best testimony you could ever have is that you never dabbled in that sin. Amen. You never let that filthy sin touch you. And so I want to encourage the teenagers, as you're going to camp, let the Lord speak to you. You will be making the biggest decisions of your life at camp. I've seen it happen. People have been saved at camp. They have surrendered their lives to the mission field. They surrendered their life to go preach the word, or just surrendered their life to have whatever the Lord has for their lives to go and do it. As Christians, when we're saved, God has a plan and a will and a purpose for your life. Amen. He has something in plan for you. Don't just throw it away to go live the world for enjoyment. Amen. But God, as we realize, if you still are struggling with that and you still, well, I'll go live the party life, I'll come back and then I'll have my, you know, cool testimony. Well, we often forget that God, yeah, God is a loving God. He's a merciful God. But God is also a jealous God. Amen. Exodus 34, verse 14, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." He's also an angry God. Psalm 7:11. "God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." So if these verses are true, which they are, they're from the Bible. So tell me, why would you want to go live this life when you know God is a jealous God and you know God is an angry God? Especially when you're saved. You have a testimony now. You have something to live for in life. Amen. You are now born again. You don't have to live for any of the things on earth or any of that. We also should have a respectful fear for God, just the same way as I respect my parents. I mean, I remember as a kid, they would tell me to do something. As a kid, you never do it, okay? You always wait till the last dying second to go do it. That was my thought process. They told me, "Logan, clean the kitchen," okay? I was probably about 9 years old or so. I was like, okay, I'll do that, sure thing. They go out on their date, okay? Little by little, I'm playing video games, right? Playing the NBA 2K game. I was playing basketball game, and I was just like thinking about how I'm playing. I get lost, okay? A couple hours fly by. I figure out a text message. "Hey, me and Dad are going to be home in about 5 minutes. Be ready to help with the groceries." At that point, I melted in my chair. I was like, I am done. It is beating time when they get home. No, I'm just joking. But I ran to that kitchen, and I tried my best. And honestly, I probably set a world record for the fastest cleaning of a kitchen. I mean, seriously, I was proud of it. I had the whole thing clean, and I remember them just coming in and having it clean and, you know, coming out and, you know, helping with the groceries and stuff. And, you know, stuff like that. I don't know where I was going with that story. Sorry. Honestly, I don't know. I was going somewhere with it. But I had a respectful fear for my parents to get that thing cleaned and ready, because I knew if they were coming back, guess what? I'm probably going to get spanked. Guess what? My game's going to go away. I'm not going to be able to have the things I want. Guess what? God is the same way. We need to get this stuff done before he's coming back. And guess what? He's coming soon, and he's coming fast. We need to be ready for it, and we need to be doing the work of God. When something takes the place of God in your life, it's a problem. I mean, like it says, God judges the righteous, and God is an angry God with the wicked every day. But it also says, you know, he's a jealous God. As we see, one of the biggest problems in America is we are addicted to entertainment. It's one of the biggest problems I've seen in America. It's been a problem in my life, in my childhood growing up. I just was addicted to video games. I was addicted to, you know, all these entertainments. And I didn't want the things of the world. I could set aside time, hours, of just watching TV or playing video games or that sort of entertainment, but I couldn't even set aside 5 minutes to read God's word. I mean, where have we gotten in America when it's like that? That would be the death of America, is entertainment, addiction to that. especially when you compromise, when you know you're watching a movie you shouldn't have, and you know it's something that's in there that you shouldn't be watching, but guess what? It's entertaining, so you want to watch it, so you're going to compromise and watch that. It's where we've gone in America.
Right.
It's also a problem when you'd rather watch a football game or play video games over going to church.
Yeah.
It's a big problem in America when church attendance is going low, and people would rather go watch a movie in the movie theaters or go watch a football game. And I enjoy football games. There's nothing wrong with enjoying football or, you know, things of that nature, as long as it doesn't take the place of God. God is number one. It should be number one in all of our hearts. So keep that in mind when you're living for that. We don't live in this world for the enjoyments or entertainment. We live to go get souls saved and see people come to the repentance of Jesus Christ. I would also say, in order to be in God's perfect will, you need to be in love with the things of God, not the things of the world. You need to learn to love the ministry. That was the big thing at Bible college. I struggled with surrendering my life to the mission field. The thought process, and every preacher said this, was not everyone's called to the mission field, but everyone should have the willingness to go to the mission field. That stuck with me. Because to be honest, I was like, I love America. I love living the high life, you know, rolling around in my car. Don't have to worry about anything, you know, famine. I could go to the store, you know, get fat, you know, obesity. But, you know, I wasn't ready for the mission field. And realistically, we need to be ready for anything that the Lord may throw at us. Wherever the Lord may call us, we need to be ready for it. And like I mentioned before, teenagers, you could be the person that wins the Philippines to the Lord, China to the Lord. You could be the next man or the next woman in line. Be ready for God's calling.
Amen.
Verse 17 says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." This one stuck out to me as I was at Bible college. Because I'm not going to lie. At Bible college, before I came to the conclusion that I need to get saved, I was like, you know, these classes, work, money, this is stressing me out. I have to pay these bills now. I'm all alone. I don't have my mom here anymore, you know. So it was like tough, you know what I mean? So I was all alone now. And to be honest, I contemplated, I was like, is Bible college worth it? Why am I here? This is an unaccredited college. But guess what? Once I got saved, I realized I'm here not for the money. I'm not here for any of that. I'm here for the will of God because God called me here. And I'm going to stay here and figure out where the Lord calls me, because I need the learning and the ammunition of going out to the mission field. And wherever God may lead, I want to follow. I want to be totally and 100% submissive and ready for God's will. Because look at, the world passeth away. Everything that you may look in life that may be cool now won't be cool in the future. When the Lord comes back, none of that will matter. Your fancy car with your nice wheels won't matter anymore. Now, okay, I love cars, okay? I'm still like, okay, I want to soup up my car a little bit, but I know that that's might not be God's will, and I need to pray about it. I even talked about mom, because there's always toys I want. There's always this new toy, you know? Back when I was a kid, it was Lego sets. I was like 14, and then when I turned 16, I was still doing Legos, man. I still do Legos to this day. I'm not even going to lie to you. I enjoy Lego sets, pouring money into that. And honestly, it's okay to enjoy stuff as long as it doesn't take the place of God.
Right.
Cars, like I said before, I enjoy cars, and I want to do stuff to my car to make it go fast and make cool sounds. But will it be reliable? I don't know. But ultimately, you got to place it in God's hand and pray about every aspect in life. And not just go after it because you want it. There's something called praying for something, praying that God will allow it. And one thing I had to learn at college is for God to say no. No? What do you mean, no? I want this, you know? No, it's not always going to go or pan out the way you want it. I was at Bible college, and my phone, you don't know how much we rely on these stupid things. I was at college, something was wrong with the SIM card or whatever it was. It was like my first 2 weeks there, I got a job. All of my money was on this, you know, my bank account to access it, my schedule, directions. I was new to the area, so I didn't really know how to get from point A to point B. My phone stopped working. And that really put my faith to the challenge, because I was just like, Lord, please fix my phone. And I thought I'd just pray, turn it on. Oh, it works now. No, it didn't work out like that. It took time, and it took prayer. And to be honest, it didn't get it working until a couple of, like, 4 days. So I had to, like, use other people's phones, get directions. It was a stressful time. But God did that to teach me how much I am addicted to this phone.
Amen.
I mean, not only the fact that I rely on it for money and all that purposes, I spend so many hours just browsing through, watching, you know, videos on cars, searching cars, you know, car parts, cool new Lego sets, you know what I mean? I mean, that's my enjoyment. And I spent so much time on that when I could be spending time in God's Word.
Amen.
And by God disabling that, it really, you know, slapped me up the head. Hey, you have a Bible right here. Why don't you read it? And so I started reading it, and then I realized, my goodness, you know, the Lord has been so good to me in my life, and I've just been neglecting the Bible. And it's just been a blessing to be able to have that walk with God.
Amen.
And, you know, you always pray about the next move in your life. You want God's will in your life. Miss Treiber said something that really stuck out to me. She said that she'd rather have her kids be thousands of miles away in the center of God's will than right next door and out of God's will. That really hit me hard because my thought process, I want to stay in America. I want to, you know, like I said, live the high life. But am I in God's will? And it won't be well with thee, by the way. If you're saved and you're saved and you're a newborn Christian, if you could be, you know, going after whatever career you want, if that's not what God wants for your life, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And if it does, you're going to be miserable. And the end goal, you're probably, you know, you're going to end up alone, you know. If you follow God's will and what he has for your plan, it will be well with thee. And guess what? It will abideth forever. So in eternity, you will have crowns and stuff and gold, and it'll, you know, be blessed. And I don't want to chase after the stubble and hay. That will all burn up one day, by the way. That cool car you have, yeah, that's a something that will be burned up, you know, in the long run. It's something that's not valuable. You need to go after the precious jewels and gold. And I'll tell you what that is. That's winning souls to Christ and following God's will. So with that being said, for the teenagers who are preparing to go to camp, let God speak to you. Pray to God. Ask him, Lord, whatever it may be that you may speak to me about, Lord, I am open. I am completely submitted to your will. I am all in. I remember at college, after I got saved, I just, you know, one of the messages really struck me. I went to the altar, and I just prayed, Lord, I don't know what you have for me, where you're going to call me. Lord, I'm there. Lord, just fully surrendered to your will and way in my life. And after that, I felt just a tremendous peace. And mind you, after I got saved, if you're struggling with salvation, get it settled. I struggled with this thing. I wrestled for 17 years. I could have got this settled years ago. But because of my pride, I kept putting it aside. I'm saved. I knew for a fact I wasn't saved. And the reason why I didn't is, oh, you know, look at Logan, grew up in a church, he's doing all these things, he's not even saved. No, that's not how anyone's thought process was. That's what I thought people were thinking, but that was just my flesh. Don't let your flesh get in the way of the will of God.
Amen.
Your flesh could keep you from doing a lot of things that you don't know you could ever do for doing for God. Be completely submitted to God's will, and God has a calling, calls everyone, so answer it. So teenagers, while you're getting prepared to go to camp, yeah, have fun. You know, lots of good memories to be had. I know I've had tons of memories. Me and Angel and Levi, we did some pretty bad stuff, but committed a couple felonies. No, I'm just joking. But no, we had some fun there. And yeah, have fun, but don't let it get in the way of the main thing. And the main thing is that you'd be renewed and you could make some big decisions. And if not, you know, get close to the Lord during this week. As Josh always says, a week at camp is a year's worth of Sunday school. That really is, that's great. I mean, I've been, like, going to camp throughout my whole life. It's just been, you know, message after message. It's just been convicting. This is a time, kids, to really get close to God and ask God, Lord, speak to me. Lord, if there's a sin, Lord, remove it. Lord, I'm here, and I'm fully submitted to your will. And if you're not saved, get that settled right now. Stop wrestling with it. There's nothing to be ashamed of to come to the altar and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It'll be nothing more important that you will do than to ask Jesus into your heart. It's the most important thing you could do. And with that being said, I hope that was an encouragement to you. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today, Lord. I just please pray and ask, Lord, that this message was a blessing to them as it was a blessing to me. Thank you, God, for how good you've been in my life. Lord, I just please pray and ask that we'll all be ready for Josh's message, Lord God, and our hearts will be open. And Lord, just please pray that we will be ready to answer whatever calling you have for us, God. Thank you so much for all that you do. For I pray this and ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.